From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, April 21st, 2017. This program is produced by the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and features news highlights compiled from the ARRL letter, found on the web at arrl.org. I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X.
And I'm your co-host, Carla Pereira.
In this week's report, ARRL's Hamvention Forum topics will encompass makers, youth, and Hamsai.
The FCC proposes a huge fine on a New York police radio jammer.
And Canada may be the best place for hams to experience the big solar eclipse in 2017, according to VE7DXW.
These stories and others, plus Bruce Page, KK5DO, with this week's satellite update, all coming up now.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Jim Reisert, AD1C of Brighton, Colorado, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
When Hamvention opens on May 19th for the first time in Xenia, Ohio, the focus of ARRL activities will be the ARRL Expo in Building 2 of the Greene County Fairgrounds and Expo Center. ARRL will sponsor a slate of forums on all 3 days of Hamvention. Here's a sample of ARRL forums at Hamvention this year.
ARRL has reached out to the maker movement, and ham radio makers and hackers will kick off the league's forum schedule on Friday at 10:30 a.m. in Room 4. The panelists at this hour long session will share experiences about how ham radio is finding kinship with the new generation of creators, makers, hackers, and innovators. Panelists will include ARRL author Glenn Popiel, KW5GP, and ARRL education and technology program instructor Tommy Gober, N5DUX. Also on the panel is Kara Koos, innovation and makerspace manager at the Xenia Community Library, who will talk about the new makerspace opened at the library earlier this year.
Also new at Hamvention 2017 will be the Hamsci, the Ham Radio Science Citizen Investigation Forum, Saturday at 9:15 a.m. in Room 4. Nathaniel Frizzell, W2NAF, will answer the question, what is Hamsci? A group of panelists will share information about professional research programs supported by radio amateurs and how all hams can get involved. Presentations also will address investigations related to the total solar eclipse in August, and Frizzell will discuss the Solar Eclipse QSO party, ionospheric sounding using ham radio QSOs. And the ARRL National Parks on the Air recap on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. in Room 2 will review the highly successful National Parks on the Air activity that commemorated the centennial of the U.S. National Park Service last year, inspiring more than 1 million contacts during park activations. ARRL Radio Sport Manager Norm Fusaro, W3IZ, and Media and Public Relations Manager Sean Kutzko, KX9X, will moderate. A complete schedule of Hamvention forums is available on the Hamvention website.
The FCC has proposed imposing a fine of more than $400,000 on a Queens, New York man who has admitted making unauthorized transmissions on New York City Police Department or NYPD radio frequencies, maliciously interfering with NYPD officers' communications. Jay Peralta, 20, is alleged to have transmitted false bomb threats, false claims of criminal activities involving firearms, false distress calls from purported NYPD officers, and threats against individual NYPD officers. The unauthorized transmissions began a year ago, according to the FCC. Through his actions, as he described them to the NYPD, Mr. Peralta has demonstrated not only a deliberate disregard of the commission's authority and rules, but of the safety of NYPD officers and the public that they are called to serve and protect, the FCC said in a Notice of Apparent Liability, or NAL, issued on April 14th. Commission action in this context is therefore essential to safeguard authorized operations on spectrum license for public safety uses, and accordingly, a substantial penalty appears warranted. The FCC said the NAL addresses 9 unauthorized and interfering transmissions that Peralta has admitted to the NYPD that he made on its radio system. FCC Chairman Ajit Pai said that with the NAL, the FCC is making it abundantly clear that it will not tolerate unauthorized and illegal use of the radio spectrum. The entire commission now must sign off on such proposed fines, and Pai said he was grateful to his fellow FCC members for agreeing to act swiftly and strongly in the matter.
An April 11th article in Emergency Management magazine, Emergency Communications Driving Increase in Amateur Radio Operators, links the growth in amateur radio numbers to interest in emergency communications. There has been a tremendous amount of interest in emergency preparedness since 9/11 and Katrina, and this is true for the amateur radio community as well, ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager Mike Corey, KI1U, told the publication. Emergency communications is a gateway into amateur radio, and many join our ranks through an interest in being better prepared themselves and as a way to serve their community. The article cites numbers from ARRL VEC manager Maria Soma, AB1FM, who notes that 2016 was the third year in a row that the total number of new licenses exceeded 30,000. The ARRL also cites ARRL Colorado section manager Jack Siacha, WM0G, who agreed with the premise that the uptick in new licenses is due to amateur radio's emergency capabilities. Interest really peaks after a large-scale event where ham radio has been utilized, Siacha said.
Online, via podcast, and on repeaters around the world, you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
Now, with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
If you're going to Dayton this year, the AMSAT Tapper Joint Banquet will be Friday, May 19th. The speaker will be Carl Laufer, offering a non-technical talk on how the RTL-SDR and other low-cost software-defined radios, or SDRs, are changing the landscape of radio use. Carl is an electronics, software, and radio enthusiast from New Zealand. After completing his PhD in machine learning, he decided to pursue a new interest in the software-defined radio world. Tickets for the banquet are only available at the AMSAT.org online store. No tickets will be sold at the Tapper or AMSAT booths at Dayton. Thanks to AMSAT for this Dayton update. On the hunt for new grid squares, David XE3DX has been traveling to several grids in Mexico that are highly desired. Listen for him on the linear and FM birds. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
The amateur radio on the International Space Station, or ARIS program, gained some valuable visibility at the 2017 National Science Teachers Association, or NSTA, National Conference, March 27th through April 2nd in Los Angeles. ARRL Education Services Manager Deborah Johnson, K1DMJ, represented ARIS and ARRL at the annual gathering. The ARIS team shared a booth with a few other educational programs under the Center for Advancement of Science and Space, or CASIS, Space Station Explorers umbrella. CASIS is an important sponsor of the ARIS program and the sole manager of the ISS U.S. National Laboratory. An estimated 4,000 educators visited the booth, learning what is available to engage students in ISS research and activities. The Space Station Explorers program includes a number of educational activities available to teachers that are appropriate for various grade levels. Storytime in Space, Zero Gravity, and Orion's Quest, to name a few, Johnson said. While at the NSTA, I had opportunities to speak with several curriculum developers, pointing up the importance of including radio and wireless communication in their physical science curricula, she added. Curriculum material about the electromagnetic spectrum and for using sensor technologies abounded, but radio was hard to find. Johnson said the NSTA conference also allowed an opportunity to engage in some team building with other program representatives, discussing ideas for future collaboration. The NSTA convention came on the heels of the Council of State Science Supervisors. Johnson also promoted ARIS to individual educators visiting the booth, explaining the program and the proposal process, and handing out more than 400 flyers. Johnson also discussed the ARRL's Teachers Institute with some attendees and encouraged them to apply.
The Central States VHF Society is soliciting papers, presentations, and posters or tabletop displays for its 51st annual conference set for July 27th through the 30th at the Sheridan Albuquerque Airport Hotel in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The conference is seeking papers, presentations, and posters on all weak signal VHF and above amateur radio topics. Such topics as FM, repeaters, and packet radio are generally considered outside of the scope of papers, presentations, and posters being sought, but there there are exceptions. Contact Ed James, KA8JMW, with any questions. You do not need to attend the conference or present your paper to have it published in the proceedings. Posters will be displayed during the conference. Submissions will be accepted via email, Dropbox, Google Drive, CD, DVD, USB stick thumb drive, and other methods. The deadline for submission is June 12th for papers to be included in the proceedings. Additional details on papers, presentations, and posters, including formatting guidelines, are on the conference website. Online registration for the conference will open on or about May 1st.
International Girls in Information and Telecommunication Technologies, or ICT Day, is April 27th. The ITU initiative aims to create a global environment that empowers and encourages girls and young women to consider careers in the growing ICT field, enabling them and technology companies to reap the benefits of greater female participation in the ICT sector. Since we launched Girls in ICT Day, we have seen over 240,000 girls and young women take part in more than 7,200 celebrations in 160 countries worldwide, said the ITU's Kamal Husenovich, Chief of the Infrastructure, Enabling Environment, and E-Applications Department. He offered some tips on planning Girls in ICT Day events. These include hands-on workshops, competitions, inviting role models, and hosting a career fair. In IARU Region 2, we consider that amateur radio is an excellent way for girls to get to know and appreciate ICTs. IARU Region 2 Public Information Officer Joaquin Solana, XE1, said. International Girls in ICT Day is celebrated on the fourth Tuesday in April every year.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Mark Griggs, KV8YMN of Columbus, Ohio, and you're listening to the ARRL Audio News.
And finally, Alex Schwartz, VE7DXW, who developed the online scanning RF seismograph to determine which bands are open, is among the many looking forward to the solar eclipse on August 21, 2017. Although the path of totality will move over Oregon, then southeastward toward South Carolina, he believes radio amateurs north of the border can take advantage of this very exciting celestial event, as those in the U.S. will be doing, and may even have an edge of sorts. Members of the Ham Radio Science Citizen Investigation, or HAMSCI, in the U.S. will sponsor a solar eclipse QSO party to conduct their own research. This will be spectacular when viewed with our eyes, Schwartz said. The effects of solar radiation on the propagation of radio waves will be equally or more exciting. Schwartz said it may appear that Canada won't be a part of the solar eclipse, but British Columbia will have up to 95% coverage, he pointed out. As the solar eclipse is moving over the planet, it is leaving a canyon of deionized gas on the ionosphere in altitudes of about 100 to 300 kilometers, Schwartz said. This puts Canada, and especially Ontario, in a very good position to get really long signal paths to the horizon toward the south. Southern Ontario will be in the best location to make contacts into the southern and western U.S. and Central America. In southern British Columbia, we can aim our antennas right down the length of the propagation anomaly and reach the Caribbean and southeastern U.S. Schwartz said timing is important because the gas will ionize again after the solar shadow has passed. The entire passage across North America will only take approximately 90 minutes. Schwartz said that during the 1999 solar eclipse in Europe, radio amateurs recorded long-distance contacts on 160 and 80 meters. We want to inform all amateurs about the opportunity of experiencing the solar eclipse on a totally different level by operating radios in their shacks, he said. Schwartz encouraged all ham radio clubs to participate in the opportunity not only to view the eclipse, but to experience its effects on radio propagation. Look for more information on the HAMSCI Solar Eclipse QSO Party at hamsci.org.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about audio news, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright 2017 ARRL, all rights reserved. Until next week, I'm Carla Pereira.
And I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X73, and thanks for listening.